Good evening, everyone. I'm Adam Wagner. I'm a regional reporter for Gatehouse Media, covering environmental and coastal issues for the Star News, as well as the Jacksonville Daily News, the New Bern Sun Journal, and the Kinston Free Press. Thank you for coming tonight. Your presence shows you want to learn more about Gen X and how that and other pollutants are affecting Brunswick County. We also want to thank tonight's panelists for taking time to provide us with answers to some of your questions. You continue to get the latest information on Gen X in the Star News, as well as the media outlets of my colleagues, WHQR and WWAY. This is an intricate issue that's unfolding daily, and we are committed to ongoing coverage.
Hi, everyone. My name is Vince Winkle. I'm with WHQR Public Radio in Wilmington. I'd like to go over the basic ground rules for this evening, which are fairly simple. We've been collecting questions from the public via email and social media for about 2 weeks, which we have up here already. We're also gathering questions from you this evening. We have a few folks handing out forms, and when you've written your question, just hold it up and they'll bring it on up to the stage. That's a lot easier than running around the auditorium with a couple of microphones. As we are streaming this live on the WWAY website and broadcasting it live on WHQR 91.3 FM, we ask everyone to be respectful of the panelists and one another, and we ask you to try and hold off on any loud outbursts unless I say something funny. We have a lot of ground to cover, and we hope to answer all of your questions this evening, or at least as many as we can get to. Amanda?
Hi, everyone. How are you doing tonight? Good. All right. Thank you for coming out tonight. I'm Amanda Fitzpatrick, the evening news anchor at WWAY News and the Cape Fear CW News. We are grateful for you all coming out tonight and joining us. And for those of you that are watching us online at WWAYTV3.com, we will live stream this event. And I told people at the last, when we did in New Hanover County, please tell your friends, if they couldn't make it, your neighbors, your family, to go ahead to our website because they can watch it all live right now. Also, we would like to thank our partners that are listening on WHQR Radio as well. It is my honor to introduce tonight's panelists. We will begin with the man who I kind of say started it all. He doesn't like that title. I love him. Dr. Detlef Knape is a professor of civil construction and environmental engineering at NC State. He is also one of the authors of the study that discovered the presence of Gen X in the Cape Fear River and the area's drinking water supply. Dr. Larry Cahoon is a professor of biological oceanography at UNCW. Dr. Suzanne Brander is an assistant professor of aquatic toxicology and environmental endocrinology at UNCW. Kemp Burdett is the Cape Fear Riverkeeper. Daniel Wilson is the executive director of the North Carolina Rural Water Association. John Nichols is the director of Brunswick County Public Utilities, which provides water and sewer services to much of Brunswick County. Randy Thompson is the vice chair of the Brunswick County Commission. David Stanley is the Brunswick County's Health and Human Services Executive Director. Sheila Holman, who, as she mentioned, was a late ad, we're glad you're here again. Hi, Sheila. She is a Department of Environmental Quality and the Assistant Secretary, who also, I believe, has a student in UNCW, correct?
I remember.
And we want to thank each one of our panelists for making it out tonight. I do also want to let you know that we did invite Chemours and a representative of Chemours to come, and they did decline. At this time, we would like to have the members of the North Carolina Department of Environmental Quality, if you could please stand, as well as any elected officials from around Brunswick County, if you could stand as well, so we can thank you for coming as well tonight. Thank you. If you want to do applause, thank you. Now, we begin tonight with brief opening remarks from Dr. Knape, who was able to bring a presentation. He is going to speak for a few moments, and then after he speaks, we will have Commissioner Randy Thompson, who will then stand up and speak. Thank you, Dr. Knape.
All right, good evening. Is this working? Okay. So it's been about 6 weeks ago that the newspaper article from the Star News hit the stands, and since then a lot of changes have happened. How people think about drinking water safety and also learning about new chemicals in the water, like Gen X, right? Before that, we thought Gen X is a generation of kids. So I think what's on a lot of people's minds is what has happened since this story hit. And the first thing that happened 2 weeks after the story broke was that Kim Moore agreed to stop discharging Gen X into the river, at least from the process that we think generated most of the Gen X. And so the question is, are the levels changing in your drinking water? And so I have some data that we collected just this week, and I'll show you that. And the other question that a lot of people have is, can I do something in my house? Can I get a home filtration device? And I've told numerous people who've contacted me that probably a good idea might be to get an under-the-sink reverse osmosis system, but I made that suggestion without having data for Gen X and the other compounds that are in the river, but extrapolated from other compounds for which we do have data. But now we have some data also for the compounds that are, in fact, in your drinking water. So the next slide. So I should say this: all of this work wouldn't be possible without my students and also the collaborators we have at EPA, Mark Streiner and Andy Lindstrom, who are really very much a driving force behind this discovery. So on this figure, the red bars are basically Gen X concentrations, and there are two groupings. On the top, you see Cape Fear public utility data. So these were water samples that were collected in residences in New Hanover County that are served by the Sweeney Water Treatment Plant. And you can see that the Gen X levels on June 30th, so about 9 days after Kim Moore said they would stop the discharge, were still on the order of 150 to 200 nanograms per liter. And the state actually on Friday came out with a health advisory level for Gen X of 140 nanograms per liter. So we're still right at this edge where these levels are of concern. And then all these other colorful dots on the bar are some of the legacy compounds that are occurring at lower concentrations. But the total fluorochemical load is still on the order of 300 plus nanograms per liter. There's a 6:30 data point where there's nothing. That's the groundwater plant of Wilmington, the Richardson nanofiltration plant. So there's no Gen X or fluorochemicals in that water. And then comes Brunswick County surface water from the Northwest plant. This was collected on July 4th, so a few days later. The level's a little bit lower, so the Gen X right around 100 nanograms per liter. And then the lowest two data points are for the 211 service area, so this would be the Southport area. And this sample where there's still a little bit of red, that was a home that sits right at the border between the service area of the 211 plant and the Northwest plant. So there's probably some blending of waters going on, you know, so you get a little bit of influence from the Cape Fear River. And the other household is further into the groundwater served area. So just highlighted the Gen X concentrations here. Next slide. But then, you know, one thing that I've always emphasized whenever people ask me questions is that Gen X is only a really small part of the total. You hit the bar once, hit it once. You can see, you know, in this oval, the red bar is Gen X, and the bluish bars are everything else that's in the water, other fluorochemicals. For most of those, we don't have standards, so I can't tell you what the concentrations are, but you can see that the levels of those other chemicals are a lot higher than the levels of Gen X. So again, the levels are trending downward, but you know, the main point here is if we want to really reduce exposure to fluorochemicals as a whole, we really also have to get to these other chemicals. Next slide. So my student went out to a number of households, and we tested 5 reverse osmosis systems in the field. So these were under the sink units that people had installed as a result of these news. And actually one of the units was several years old already. Then a whole house granular activated carbon filter and a whole house activated carbon and ion exchange filtration system that was actually followed by a reverse osmosis unit. Next slide. So this is the last slide I'm going to show. The taller bars are what's in the tap water for each grouping. So raw means tap water at the house, and treated means in this first grouping of 5, the reverse osmosis filtered water. And you can see that the RO system essentially gets out all of the fluorochemicals. You know, there's a tiny little bar there. It's not 100% removal, but you know, it's and actually I do have one more slide with percent removals. Again, the red is the Gen X, very small fraction of the total. And the grouping of 5 is reverse osmosis, but then at the bottom is the GAC system, granular activated carbon. It didn't really do anything. And what we see sometimes, in fact, is that activated carbon at some point starts releasing chemicals after you've had it in use for some time. So that's perhaps what's going on here. But basically no removal for the activated carbon, but a little bit of removal for this activated carbon and ion exchange system, which makes sense because a lot of these compounds are ions. But really the only system that worked well is the RO, the reverse osmosis system. And final slide, just the percentages for removal. So we have 95%+ removal for 4 of the 5 RO systems. There was one RO system that was not working as well. We're not quite sure yet what was going on there. Sometimes RO membranes can rupture. And when a vendor provides you with an RO system, they often provide you with a little conductivity meter. And that conductivity meter just measures how much salt is in your water. And you can very quickly see, is the RO system removing the salt from the water? If it does, then the membrane is intact. If it does not, then you know the membrane may have ruptured. And GAC, activated carbon alone, no removal, ion exchange and carbon, some removal. And that's it.
Commissioner?
All right, thank you. I just have a few prepared remarks. I want to thank you for the opportunity to represent Brunswick County in this important discussion this evening. First of all, I want to make it absolutely clear that Brunswick County commissioners and the staff are just as concerned as each and every one of you are about the reports of contaminated water. Our water supply is a prized resource. It affects the quality of life of each and every resident and business that calls Brunswick County home, and it is something that we will never, ever take lightly. While we are pleased that Chemours has ceased the discharge of Gen X, let me be absolutely clear, we will never vain in our efforts to demand that Chemours, or any company for that matter, act as a responsible corporate citizen. We will go to whatever lengths necessary to ensure the healthy and wellness of our citizens, that it comes first. And yes, we will demand accountability and hold companies responsible for their actions. We will contest the discharge of any chemical that presents a threat to public health, regulated or unregulated. We have and will continue to test our water supply. Our most recent test suggests that the levels of Gen X continue to decline and are below even the lowered health goal for exposure to, according to the North Carolina Health and Human Services. We are cautiously optimistic and will remain vigilant. A few days ago, Brunswick County received test results for 1,4 dioxane in water. These results showed less than the smallest detectable level in treated water from our Northwest Water Treatment Plant and showed 1.3 parts per billion in treated water from our 211 Water Treatment Plant, still well below the EPA's non-cancer adverse health effect advisory of 200 parts per billion, which is calculated for consistent daily exposure for a lifetime to the most vulnerable populations like infants. We are working quickly to locate and isolate the source of the 1,4 dioxane in the water and determine appropriate corrective actions, including testing and reviewing processes. Brunswick County is also developing a plan for sampling our water supply, and officials are determining whether these results are from a sampling anomaly. I would never suggest that the safety and the quality of our drinking water is something that we take lightly. However, I believe at this time, it's a time for us to unite as a community to resist the temptation to panic or to buy into worst-case scenarios. It is in all of our best interest to rely on scientific facts as they become available rather than make rash decisions. With this in mind, I urge our valued partners with the North Carolina Department of Environmental Quality to take a true leadership role in advising the public. It is in the best interest of our collective citizens to have access to the most up-to-date and accurate information from one authoritative source. Anything less than that will lead to continued speculation and confusion. Governor Cooper took an important first step this week by urging the EPA to expedite the health assessment of GenX and set a maximum contaminant level. We hope this was just the first step in the state providing the leadership our citizens deserve. In closing, I want to reiterate how seriously we are taking these issues. The discharge of any harmful or little understood chemical into our water supply is something that we will not stand for, and we will take the appropriate measures to prevent this and hold companies responsible when necessary. I and my fellow commissioners are committed to open and honest dialogue about our water quality here in the county. I encourage the residents to still reach out to each and every one of us with any questions or concerns that you may have. Thank you.
Commissioner Thompson, how confident are you in the science and data you've been receiving and in how the state has been handling this issue over the course of the past 6 weeks?
A very good question. I have had the opportunity to be afforded the opportunity to listen in and monitor on the majority of all the discussions that have taken place between our public health officials, our water quality officials, our administrative staff with the county, and our state partners. I think it has been a great exchange of information. I think that we are looking, just like I shared with you in my statement, for the state to step forward and provide that authoritative voice and provide information directly to the citizens. And I think that they have done a good job up to now. I think that this has been a very demanding course of activities that has taken place that many departments had to prepare for and had to focus their main time allocation to address these concerns and put other things that were ongoing business, whether that be the state or the county, to the side for the moment to address these concerns. And I will say in the information that has been afforded to me, I do think that they have done that. I think they have stepped up and they have taken this very seriously. But I do think that it is time for the state to take the lead and to certainly facilitate the information flow from one authoritative voice.
So, breaking a little news here, we do have confirmation that Governor Roy Cooper is going to be in Wilmington on Monday, which will be the first time he's been in Wilmington since this news broke. On the next question, this is directed at Dr. Brander. In your opinion, is bathing safe? What activities should we refrain from doing that involve water because of this research?
Sure, and like has been reported, the levels of Gen X are decreasing, but as Detlef pointed out in his presentation, there are many other compounds that are present in the water, perfluorinated compounds that we don't have studies on, so we don't know what the health effects might be from these compounds. But as far as bathing goes, most of these chemicals are fairly hydrophilic, meaning they like water. They're not necessarily going to penetrate the skin well, and so bathing is likely to be relatively safe, even if you're trying to avoid, you know, the compounds in your drinking water, for example.
And I think that we've heard this question, you know, several times. We've been emailed this question, and to kind of piggyback on that, and maybe you or David Stanley can answer this as well. Wendy Carroll wants to know, is it safe to brush my teeth, play in the sprinkler? What about watering my garden? What about my son taking a bath? I have a 5-gallon water cooler that I need to keep filled for my ball players. What about that?
So, should I take this one as well?
Either one.
All right, I can start. Well, okay. I answered a similar question at the forum a few weeks ago in Wilmington, and it's for my personal water use, for drinking, for cooking, and also for the very small garden I have in downtown Wilmington. I've been using RO water, but for other purposes like bathing or brushing teeth. I mean, if you're an adult person who doesn't swallow a lot of water when you brush your teeth, you're not going to get exposed to very much of the chemical if it is in the water just by brushing your teeth. Maybe for a child you would be more concerned.
You know, I'm a little confused, which isn't saying much, but I have been confused, and Dr. Knappe's presentation reminded me of this, of these 6 or 7 other compounds that seem to far outnumber the levels of Gen X. That we aren't talking about that much, yet if they're in the same family, wouldn't they have the same potential risks? And do these compounds simply not have names yet? Or why are we not talking about them? And I think I'll just throw this at Dr. Cahoon for starters.
Okay. All right, well, I knew you told me you were going to ask me about the cocktail. Yeah, there's a mixture of compounds in the water, and Dr. Knappe's slide showed you that. Those compounds have names. They've all been identified in the strictest sense of identifying their chemical formulas and their chemical structures. What's missing in almost every case is any information on health effects. We can make certain inferences from their structures and their basic natures. I mean, you know, I wouldn't be happy about drinking any of them, but we know even less about those other compounds than we do about Gen X, which is remarkably poorly studied in comparison to some of the older compounds. So the unknowns here outweigh the knowns, and an excess of caution would dictate that we need to be very careful about those compounds as well, and think about those when we look at regulating these discharges, deciding what is safe and what isn't, and so forth.
Okay. Ms. Holman, we have a question here about some testing levels in Brunswick County, but it involves something that we've also seen a little bit in the state testing levels, too. It's about how on July 11th, it was reported that Gen X levels in Brunswick were at levels of 36.8 parts per trillion, and then on July 15th, it was reported that the levels were 64 parts per trillion. Why are we getting different numbers? Why are sometimes the numbers later on in the game higher than numbers earlier?
Thank you for that question. Before I answer the question, I just want to make a few remarks, if it's okay. First, I want to recognize that we do have staff here tonight from the Department of Health and Human Services. I'd like to recognize Danny Staley, our public health director, Zach Moore, the state epidemiologist, and Chris Mackey, the communications director from DHHS. And I want to just take a moment, first of all, to thank y'all for coming out tonight. But also just assure you that these two state agencies, at the direction of Governor Cooper back in June, began an intense investigation of the situation. And we've heard part of the story tonight. We've heard Dr. Canapi talk about voluntary discontinuance of the discharge by the company that was as a result of the department's investigation, as well as requests from state and local officials and the public. That's a positive thing that this chemical is not being discharged into the river at this time. We did learn that there were some additional smaller sources of discharge. The company identified those over the weekend of July 8th and 9th, and so we're starting to the state, do not have all of the results back following those additional actions that the company took. We talked about the data a little bit. We saw Dr. Canapi's data. What the state has seen is that from the first week when we started monitoring back on June 19th to the next couple of weeks, we did see the concentrations drop at the finished water supplies. We saw that there were the data showed that the values were at or below that new health goal established by DHHS, with the exception of one site where the value was slightly over from one of our labs and slightly below for the other lab. Y'all may recall we have the data analyzed at both the EPA lab and RTP, but it's analyzed at a lab in Colorado as well. So for any given day, we will eventually have two values for all of the samples that the DEQ staff have taken. Dr. Canapi also mentioned, Mr. Thompson mentioned the letter that Governor Cooper sent to EPA earlier this week, and that was basically to do three things: to ask EPA to expedite its risk assessment. What that would do is give the national, our federal agency would give us the health information that the state could then use to develop standards. We also asked that the EPA establish a national water quality standard for the chemical. The governor also asked EPA to relook at the consent order that was issued under the Toxic Substances Control Act and to address all the releases of Gen X into the river. That being said, even without the health assessment, let me assure you all that the state will pursue all options to establish a regulatory framework for Gen X. In addition, we are continuing to look at the company's permit and its application as part of this ongoing investigation. We do not intend to issue a permit until our investigation is complete. As we know, Chemours has stopped the discharge of Gen X, and we're taking that fact into consideration as we reconsider the permit and determining what that new permit should look like. I want to emphasize that we do have positive results from this investigation, but we're not done. Based on the latest concentrations of Gen X and the new risk assessment conducted by DHHS, our colleagues at DHHS are not advising for people not to drink the water. So we're not done yet. We recognize we have a long way to go. We are also working to address the additional chemicals. We talked about the other chemicals. We have asked EPA, as they analyze those water samples over the 6 weeks of sampling, to also provide us data for that information. Dr. Cahoon made the point that there's not a lot of health data out there for those compounds. And so DHHS is reaching out to our federal partners at both EPA, the CDC, and the National Institute of Environmental Health sciences. So we are reaching to the federal partners, we're reaching to university partners to look at what the possible health impacts could be from those other unregulated compounds. This is a top priority for the state, and we will continue our investigation. Now, finally, Andrew, to your question. And thank you all for allowing me to make those remarks. To your question, I think the main message to emphasize is that we are talking about parts per trillion. These are very small concentrations, and so I think we will see the numbers bounce around a little. We've already seen that with the various data sets. I would focus right now that we are seeing a downward trend. Once we have six weeks of data, we may be able to speak more about the values and how they are fluctuating over time. There could be some Gen X that's been entrained in the soil that may be released later. We just don't know. We still have some questions there, but I do want to focus on that the values are significantly lower. Thank you.
A question from the audience. Have any long-term health studies been done on the effects of Gen X, or does anyone on the panel have a plan to spearhead one?
There has been one long-term study done, which was a two-year study done in rodents, and this study appears to have been funded by DuPont and Chemours, but what they did find, and I know that's it's understandable, but a lot of studies like this for new chemicals that companies are planning to use are done by the companies themselves in many cases. But this was a study done over 2 years in rats, and it did see a slight increase in certain types of cancer, like testicular cancer. There was a slight uptick in, I believe it was pancreatic cancer. And then some other studies have hinted at reproductive effects and effects on immune response. But really, there is only that one long-term study that has been done. There are a couple of others. There was one that came out from, was led by a scientist from East Carolina University earlier this year that also pointed to potential effects on immune response. So those are really the two main studies that have been done, and just one that was over a longer-term period.
Other than those, is anyone interested in spearheading that you know of? Sheila, would you? Or anyone?
Thank you for that question, Amanda. I know a lot of the in the community, people that may have lived here since the early 80s are asking, we've heard this particular compound may have been in the water for years. And so we are, again, I'll turn to our partners at DHHS, but they will be reaching out, have already reached out to the CDC, and again, our federal partners to see about their help in looking at a long-term exposure study. So that work and that request is already underway.
Exactly.